You feed the fan.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show for July 19th. Alex and I were just talking about our overall thoughts on this episode of SmackDown. We're going to get into all of it, but get in your super chats, get in your humper chats at humperchats.com. We need your support more than ever because I don't even know who owns Fightful anymore after last night. Okay. Between Effie just beating Sean like that, embarrassing to be honest, but no, we love when Sean gets to have fun because normal people do. But great match with Effie and Sean yesterday. Please send us your support. Sean's going to need some help healing up. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Tons of scoops that went up this week. An imminent turn for Sammy Guevara, it sounds like. The signing of Rachel Elring, which ROH fans are excited about. More to come this weekend as well. Your SmackDown producers list will be out as usual. And some more information about Hologram, who has been seen in AEW. Who it is, what the deal is. Check FightfulSelect.com this weekend. We thank you for joining us. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. Well, I would say that this episode, Carmelo and Andrade maybe showed out a little bit more than Sean did yesterday. But as we were kind of talking right before we went on air, that it's so tricky, I think, to get the pacing of certain things right when you have these pay-per-views every month and then you have bigger pay-per-views elsewhere. It makes it a little tricky and it kind of makes things feel not bad, but like maybe that there's just like a cap on the potential of where things can go until you get to the pay-per-view. I'm loving Jacob Fatu, but we are kind of falling back into that same pattern of like, oh my gosh, the Bloodline attack to end the show. We saw it for 3 years. But overall, I kind of liked tonight's episode. I thought Andrade and Melo tore it down. Like, that match definitely surpassed my expectations. Justice for Chelsea Green. But other than that, a decent episode. And I will say, too, the pacing of the episodes themselves, much, much better. And it's much easier to stomach, like, a two-hour episode of something that's pretty good than a three-hour one. It's just a different feel. What did you kind of think overall tonight of what we got out of SmackDown?
Yeah, I was going to tell you before we got on the air, if you feed the audience something that they want, they're going to like go gaga over it, right? They're going to love what they're seeing. For instance, you just said the Andrade Carmelo was, I thought it was a great match. I love when these guys showcase their talents in the ring. I know that the minute I try to do absolutely any type of flippy floppy move, I'm going to be in the hospital for 3 weeks. Okay. These guys are insane and they're incredible. But we are kind of starting to see a lot of the bookend stuff that we used to talk about with the original Bloodline, you know, where they're kind of bookending the show. They're not really starting it. They're bookending it in this episode. So yeah, we'll talk about it as we get through the show.
They're bookending it, and they're bookending it with the same story, too. Sure. But we're going to talk about this. Luis putting the link for donate to the Dementia Society of America. Whenever Sean wrestles, he does so for a cause. He always donates his booking fees and raises a bunch of money. I know he raised over $2,000 for this organization. Really important cause to him. Really important cause to the world, quite frankly. So please, please, please support if you can. And please send in those super chats and humper chats here if there's anything you want to talk about. But let's dive into this episode. We got some things to discuss here. We get Cody kicking off the show. And not going to lie, it kind of sounded like he was giving a eulogy for Randy Orton after the way they went off last week. Randy got his ass beat. And he just was like, RIP Randy Orton. You meant so much to me. I would not be a champion without your mentorship. And then he throws his attention to Solo Sikoa and says that he told Solo Sikoa he wasn't ready. And Solo Sikoa certainly responded, right, by pinning him, but also using Jacob Fatu, which brings out Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. And they blame Cody for Austin Theory's very swollen face the other week. But here's the thing. Cody's like, hey, wasn't it you who was the one that kneed him in the face, Grayson? But mm-hmm. Grayson is DeLulu, God bless him, and he blames it on Cody, and they have, not to use a strong word here, but a bit of a kerfuffle. They have a bit of a fight 'em ups here. But Terrence Crawford is in the crowd, and he gives Cody a steel chair. This felt a little weird to me. At one point, the chair gets thrown to Grayson Waller, and Cody hits the Cody Cutter, and they kind of run off here. It felt like we went 0-60 way too fast. Like, these guys had no issue with each other, and then they have a minor beef, and, like, we saw Cody hesitating to do stuff in an I Quit match with AJ Styles. Right here, he's like, nah, I'm going to take a steel chair to you because you're mad. Like, was a little bit too much of a jump for me. Like, it got a little too intense for my liking. We'll talk about later. They set up a match. But this just kind of went from they have no issue to I'm willing to hit you with a steel chair over something that feels kind of minor, in my opinion. But nothing too offensive here. That's kind of nitpicking. But what were your thoughts on our opening segment here?
The boxer on ringside felt a little bit out of place. Like, normally they have, like, celebrities, and it's cool. They show them, and then that's it. But then to him to actually now have a steel chair, and it seems like this is something that they're doing now with almost all the celebrities. Every time that they're ringside, they're giving a weapon or joining in. You know, we saw that with the Jalen Brunson with the Knicks, and now we're seeing it with the boxer. I think we saw something with Jelly Roll too, if I don't remember. Maybe,
yeah.
I can
make that up. Yeah.
But now we're just seeing, you know, a lot of this happening. But other than the, just having the boxer just kind of get involved, I think it was all right. You know, I mean, it was kind of fast paced, but you're talking about a 2-hour show that they got to kind of like move along, and you know, Fox has hard breaks that they got to take. So, you know, kind of the eulogy went a little too long.
The eulogy part of this might have gone a little bit long. You're right in that the, like, celebrity involvement too usually feels like someone who is iconic with
sure.
a sports franchise or a team. A boxer's not, like, he's from somewhere, but, like, I don't know if it carries this. It doesn't feel like what we got at the Garden the other day. You know what I mean? Like, this just didn't feel like...
I think it was also just kind of set up the whole match that he's having on pay-per-view. I think that was basically it.
I'm sure it was. I am sure it was. But we got a super chat from Ricardo saying, at work as usual, but I love you. We love you too. See you later tonight.
You.
Well, thank you so much, Ricardo. We appreciate that.
Hey,
and
you have a safe time at work.
Yeah. Working on a Friday night, man. Working the weekend away.
I used to work at Blockbuster and at Hollywood Video, so.
There you
go. Perfect Friday nights, baby.
I worked a lot of Friday nights because I've worked in music and sports pretty much my whole career. And also I worked at a pizza place, and also, yeah, I worked at a baseball stadium. I've mostly worked Friday nights, and here I am.
Hey, you kind of go around in the work jobs.
I do. I got all sorts of hours. All right. I'm burning the midnight oil all the time over here.
Someone send more super chats and humper chats, okay? Because I have to go back to flipping pizzas and delivering them.
Oh my goodness. I never delivered, which is if you didn't want a job at a pizza place, it's you don't want the pizza delivery job. I learned very quickly. People are just mad at you. It's like, it's never early enough. It's never on time.
No, no.
Like, you could deliver it in 5 minutes and they'd be like, it wasn't here in 4 minutes, but okay. That's crazy. What I learned.
Crazy, crazy people out there.
I was just like, you want some slices? Here you go. That was my
also, job. By the way, back in the day, I'm going to age myself here, people just knew where to go. There was no GPS. There
oh my God. My sense of direction is horrendous.
There was some crazy person who just knew the town who they hired. Just
knew all the streets.
And just knew how to get you the food.
That's a really good point. Yeah, that would have been. I am horrible with directions. Horrible. And thanks, ADD. It takes me forever to, like, God bless Sean and also Jimmy Van. Like, I have to screw things up like 4 times before I get it right. And then I'll never really get it wrong again. But, like, my comprehension is, like, I have to mess it up 3 times.
Sure.
And takes a lot of patience. But like directions, the amount of times I would have to go somewhere, oh my gosh, it would have been a lot. But Bad Robot saying, hey, favorite post show, I lost money on Effie pulling out the upset over SRS. You should sue Sean. Tiffy's Alabama Slam is becoming a fave move, and Mia has been great. We're going to talk about Mia Yim because that girl deserves some W sooner than later. Sure. She's awesome. But if they do mid-card titles, Mia, please, who would you like? Man, that's probably a top contender there. The work Chelsea Green is doing, I think, is excellent. Somebody being very funny in that picture could be a lot of fun. But that's a good question. Any women in the mid-card picture that you would want to see holding the title?
Yeah, Chelsea Green definitely always comes up to mind because she's always like in the mix of things. I would also see Piper Niven as well. She's someone in there that kind of just, you know, there's a couple few good women that are just floating around that would do well with stories in a mid-card title.
To be honest, and I love Alba Fire and I love Isla Dawn, but like a Kaylee Ray proper mid-card title reign. Whew.
I too love Isla Dawn.
I know you do. I know you do for the exact same reasons I do. But me, Norma, saying, here's a small sack of mice for you two. Sons of beaches. The show felt like Kate's cookout. Not many steaks, but still entertaining. Listen, all right. Kind to animals, but that is very funny. There weren't a lot of steaks on the show, but it was still pretty all right.
To go to a Meat Normus cookout. If he ever invited me, man, I would love to eat his. Wait.
My expectations would be so high because he's like, his name is Meat Normus.
It's Meat Normus.
Oh, he's always coming in here with like, guess what I made today? It would be a lot.
Meat Normus, I want to eat your meat. Wait, like steak. All right.
I don't have a blue read.
Moving on, friends.
We got a backstage from Cody setting up the match for later tonight, which was your main event. Subscribe to FightFestLike.com for proper rundowns and spoilers. But Cody is dumb, and he thinks he can take on Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. Dumb, brave, however you want to define it. It's in the eye of the beholder. I think a little of both. I think he has a lot of courage and self-confidence in thinking that he can beat them both. But I also think he's a little stupid, just because if you've seen wrestling in numbers games, that's not how that works out most of the time. But Nick Aldis says, well, it's my ass on the line if our champion gets messed up in this situation. So you have to find a partner by the end of the night, and then the match is all yours. So some good stuff there. Put that on pause. We're going to talk about it at the end of the show. We're going to talk about my match of the night. I love this, but Anthony Velasquez saying, outside of Andrade versus Melon, I'm going to assume he means Melo, because I don't think there was like a cantaloupe in there.
I like Melon. Talking about
food
outside
of Andrade versus Watermelon, outside of that match, this was a pretty boring show. In ring wise, this absolutely stole the night. I adore what we got out of this. We get a quick vignette where Melo says that these are just two hoopers hooping and they're gonna go hard in the paint, and the first one to miss is gonna lose. And as you know, Melo, don't miss. Here's the thing, he's just really cool.
He's just a really cool dude.
If I tried to say Hooper's Hoopin', do you know how stupid I look when I say that?
You said it. You didn't sound stupid. I look stupid. You look great. I want you to hoop it up. Let's go.
Our good friend Pluggo from Love Wrestling said, like, if I tried to say these things, this is what I would look like. It's like a dweeby dude. And I said, if I tried to say Hooper's Hoopin', I would look like Squeak from Basketball. That's how I look. We actually have one of those fellas in the chat right now. Hey, JPJ, we love you guys.
Hey, there's JP. What's good?
We love those guys. And
Melon is the man.
Melon is the man. And this match was fantastic. We get this kind of anything you can do, I can do better situation in the beginning of this. Exchanging drop kicks. Really nice spot where Andrade is tangled up in the ropes and Carmelo just kind of reverse leg drops him, or You know, if you saw Effie sit on Sean's face like that yesterday, kind of looks like that. But we get some beautiful Spanish flies in this. Andrade's dragon screw leg whips. Mwah. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. Some really, really good near falls in here. Really good countering. We get the first 48 countered, and Andrade wins with the message. I was surprised by the results. This match was incredible. My only thing is that both of them needed to win it. That's the thing, is like neither of these guys should be taking losses, in my opinion. It does feel like we're headed toward Carmella versus LA Knight, hopefully for that US title. He should be winning going into that. Like, that's the thing he should be doing. But also, if there's anything we learned at Money in the Bank, it's that Andrade needs wins. So they both showed out. No complaints about the matches. My only thing is, I just want them both to have fun. I want them both to win this. What did you think of this match? I thought it was fire.
I'm in this. There's a reason why I'm also a big fan of the other program, the AEW, because they have a lot of technical wrestling like this. You know, a lot of crazy moves that just, like I mentioned before, you just know you yourself can't do. And to see these athletes just perform the way they do, and it's pinpoint accuracy. It's not football. Yeah. It's not basketball. It's not baseball, right? Though baseball doesn't have a lot of contact, but these two gentlemen just went out there and put on a clinic. And I love the fact that we are in an age of pro wrestling that we're able to get styles like this on the regular. Okay, because we were stuck in a period where this type of movesets and match was not allowed.
Just not even them having 8 minutes, Alex. Like, we were having so many 3-minute matches.
I'm all in on this. And Andrade, you know, he's one of those that, and when he first was up in the company, I thought, God, he could be the next it guy, because you know, the next Latino that could actually, you know, propel outside of the Rey Mysterios, and hopefully definitely outside of Eddie Guerrero. You know what I'm saying? Like, break the stigma, become your own person and flourish. So I'm hoping that maybe, and I've said this about Escobar, and it's kind of, now I've fallen dull with that because they just kind of just not done anything.
They've
with him.
Fallen dull with it. Yeah.
So now I'm just like, you know, like, give me Andrade then. Give me this Andrade all the time. Like, I want him to be a killer.
I love that you pointed that out, because he feels like one of the few that escapes the Eddie Guerrero comparisons on a regular basis. Like, and it is, he's just, he is his own animal. Like, he really is. And it's very cool to see, because he does some incredibly athletic things, but he is not like typical lucha style.
No.
If you listen to Sam Adonis, who works CMLL or AAA, I can't remember which, because I'm not close to those products. I think CMLL. He will give you a proper lecture on what lucha style means, and that it's not all flippy stuff, but how we usually perceive it. Andrade really breaks that mold while still being able to do some just absolutely incredible things. The other thing that stuck out to me in this match, and I absolutely am so impressed, because Carmelo is young in his career to be this good at it, I feel like, is his match pacing is incredible. He's in there with Andrade, so he kind of gets to cheat at that. Like, Andrade's amazing at that too. But at the same time, Carmelo controls the pace also with his emotions. Like, there are so many times in this where you see him slowing down the match, but he's in his feels, man. He's like, you can see in his eyes him strategizing, him being pissed that somebody kicked out. And like, there's just such fluidity in a match when somebody can control a match pace with their facial expressions and the feeling of the match. I'm so impressed that he has done this so well at such a young age. I adore that. It's something that some people never get a hold of in their career. So really great work from both of them in this. I felt like they showed out. Guys, continue getting those super chats and humper chats. We are flying through this episode because we had some good stuff in here today that lets us move a little more fluidly. But Jay Stone saying Hunter needs to go find a VP and have him mentor or manage Mello. It's actually a good way to circle back to Bobby, who he was initially feuding with. I don't know what MVP wants to do. I think he officially retired, but I don't know if he just meant from in-ring as a performer, like as a wrestler. Yeah. He's a great manager. I would say I don't dislike that idea, but I would say
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bella's not someone who needs it. Doesn't mean that it's not valuable. Like, I don't think Chris Statlander needs it, but her and Stokely do a lot of really fun work, right? But Melo just has so much charisma and so much upside on his own. Him working heel is the proper choice. So I think if you just give him room and proper booking and consistency instead of having him go to a draw in a speed championship match and then take a loss to Andrade, who can't buy a win to save his own life here. I think you're going to see some really cool stuff. I hope they make him look strong going into this feud with LA Knight. They need to. Sure. That's got to be for the U.S. title, in my opinion. Any thoughts on Melo and a manager?
I don't mind seeing him alone. I think that he stands very well on his own two feet. He could hold his own. He has a great, you know, he can talk and he can back it up.
Yeah.
I believe that anytime you need a mouthpiece is because you either want to protect the person from getting behind the microphone, right? Or they are in need of an enhancement, right? So, like, sure. For instance, Paul Heyman joined the Bloodline. It wasn't so much so that Roman couldn't speak. It was more of the enhancement of having Paul Heyman there to bring that level up, right, of what they were saying. And you just leave Roman to just say his few words. Acknowledge me, wise man, tell him what it is. And that's it, right? With Melo, you know, I want to hear Melo speak. Melo has always something good and fun to say. So let him cook.
Let him cook, indeed. Well, I got to say, I wish they would let these women's title pictures cook a little bit more than a quick segment here, but I love the double frame pre-tape. It feels so old school to me. I don't know why, but like the split screen with the two people is so, so fun to me. Meet Norma says, Bailey said what we're all thinking. Nia is big and unsafe. Nia said what I was thinking. Is this over? This promo was veggies of the episode. LMAO. Harsh. Harsh wow. For you. I'm vegan, so I'm learning to love my vegetables. But I got to say, first of all, both ladies looking good tonight. Okay. Nia looks... Nia, whenever she is at like... in a segment where she just is in street clothes and has more natural makeup, is like looks stunning in my opinion. Like
Nia with her hair up is a different person.
It like she has such beautiful facial features that when it's pulled back, I'm like, all right. And Bailey, the top is working. I'm just
text all of them and they don't.
So we do have this like double remote location thing going on. And we have this interview thing and Nia just ignores the questions and basically says people should feel sorry for Bailey because she's going to lose at SummerSlam. And Bailey says Nia hasn't changed in 10 years and that she never injured Bailey because she was so vicious that she was reckless and clumsy, which I kind of like because it was such a prevalent criticism of Nia and a fair one. that Bailey called that into the ether, because there's just not a ton of story here, because it feels like Queen of the Ring was 600 years ago. Yeah. So they have to find a way to throw some heat on this. We're getting really late. Like, SummerSlam is around the corner, people, and it just, some of these builds, as we were kind of talking about at the top of the show, I feel like either get hotshotted all of the sudden, because they realize there's a PLE coming up and that they need to do something, i.e. the first AJ Styles match and Logan Paul with Cody felt that way too.
Yeah.
Or I've said this before, and it sounds more harsh than it's meant to, but I've said it about both companies. Neither company right now, and it's a tough thing to master, feels to me like they have clarity on long-term story versus dragged out storytelling in certain things, right? Like,
yes,
learning Tria's go home heat for me always, but it's like the thing that's so funny about that is they are ironically saying like, oh, people get stuck in the Jericho vortex and Hook hasn't moved on from this since the beginning of this bit. Like, so there's gotta be development week over week with everything that you do if it's going to be longer term, so it doesn't feel dragged out. Nia and Bailey has felt a little dragged out and disjointed from the perspective of we weren't really getting any story because we were waiting for Tiffany and Nia's alliance to come into play. Mm-hmm. And so then it was like Queen of the Ring was just on the back burner. And now all of a sudden SummerSlam's a week away. And it feels like there's not really a story here because we all know the real story is with Tiffany. So I thought both ladies did what they needed to do very well tonight. It just doesn't feel like there's an even pacing of storytelling right now. What were your thoughts on this segment? I know you like Nia, you like big, strong women. This is the best Nia's looked in ring. So Bailey's criticism does feel kind of outdated, which I think is the safest way to bring it up. But I'm looking forward to the match itself. How about you?
Yeah, same. You know, I think Nia, for me, she's kind of been someone who I've always, and I continue to say this, I've always thought of her as this powerful, you know, woman who could take care of business, right? And she's never been used as that. She's always just been used in the funny gimmicks, oh, my butthole, or whatever that line was when she fell on her butt.
Yeah.
My hole, yeah. So it's just kind of seeing this now, seeing her relationship with Tiffany Stratton, like, you know, like, even with her next to her in the ring, I'm still kind of feeling like she wants to beat her up all the time, you know, because she hates those Barbie doll types of women. She said it before. She's like, oh, you Barbie doll. Like, she's repeated things like this in the past. And Bailey, this run for Bailey hasn't really hit for me. Am I wrong to say that? It hasn't really felt super crazy strong.
I would love to know the chat's thoughts on this, because for me, it's been a couple of things. Bailey is one of my favorite women's performers in the world. Same. I feel like she's one of the most selfless, giving wrestlers, period, man or woman. But between Piper, that whole feud being because Scotland, and we finally get her beating Io, and the damage control thing went on so long, and then damage control just went to another brand pretty quickly after. Mm-hmm. So it kind of felt like we had this really satisfying ending to that, and the follow-up just like hasn't really been there for the defenses. And we're also getting some of the same stories of like Piper Niven was a size advantage story. Nia Jax is going to be right. A size advantage story, right? It's just a little tricky because she faced Bianca 400,000 times already.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just been kind of, it's not nearly as rough as on Raw where there's just nobody being built for Liv, but outside of Rhea, we were just all waiting for Rhea to come back. But like, if Mee Chin had been getting some wins and we got to see a story and a defense around that, I think that would have been good. I think that would have been good, but I'm with you in that, and that it doesn't feel so much like it's been a proper reign.
Sure.
But Tina Kiesig, make way for the pink Tiffy in the bank briefcase. Come on, man. Give it to me.
When we start seeing it.
I mean, if she cashes in at SummerSlam, though, that's a week away.
That's true. We only have a week. Oh, my God. Where has the rest of the summer gone?
I know, it's crazy. It's crazy that we're at the end of.
We are literally a SummerSlam. Oh my God.
I know. It's wild.
What happened?
Wild.
We just had Money in the Bank last night.
It does feel that way, doesn't it? It really does. But oh, you know I'm what so it is? Glad. Because
pay-per-views are usually at the end. For me, I feel like they should be more towards the end of the month.
It's weird when they're, yeah, like in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're so close together. But we have, to your point, Alex, so many pay-per-views.
Oh.
So many PLEs. So much that we're shelling out money for these days. And I just, you know, things get a little cheaper elsewhere. In fact, if you're an AEW fan and you found out that maybe some content was getting uploaded on Max in France today, I don't know, you might want to travel somewhere else. I'm just saying.
Buying pay-per-views on NordVPN.com/Fightful is going to enhance your pay-per-view buying process. Now, one subscription to NordVPN has so many different benefits, but if you're a big pay-per-view buyer like myself, UFC, boxing, pro wrestling, all that good stuff, any combination of the three, if they're doing a fight circus or something like that, this subscription will pay for itself after one or two pay-per-view buys. Change your virtual location, pay for it at the prices that other people are paying for it in the UK, in Australia, etc., etc., and you can get different interfaces. Maybe you don't like Peacock and you want to check out the WWE Network the way that it used to be, the way that it was designed to be, the easy navigation, so on and so forth. Maybe you want to watch AEW without commercials. Maybe there's some other overseas services that you can't subscribe to and you want access to them. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you that with a great deal and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Even better, 24/7 tech support. So if you have trouble navigating any of it, they can help you out. Fastest VPN on the planet, NordVPN.com/Fightful.
NordVPN, baby. We love them. They've been so supportive of us for a long time. Oh my goodness. Proof on air. If you're itching to get at that AEW library a little bit, head to France. Oh my gosh. A CM Punk collision? The 6 weeks that everybody longs for, man, you can go over there. You can head over to France. And
I upset a lot of people on the Twitter today because I was like, oh, it's true. Look, it's there. People were not happy.
Twitter, Alex, man. When I say people on Twitter are dumb, I'm not like, oh, they're dumb because they're mean. I mean, literally, like, three times this week, their deductive reasoning skills, like, they were just all over for me because they, like, couldn't put two and two together. Like, I had said, for example, like, I don't think you can complain about a one-hour match between MJF and Will Ospreay if you're also complaining about AEW pay-per-view cards being too long and ratings being too low.
Sure.
Like, getting a free match that's really long, like, it's like complaining that the food is bad and the portions are too small. And the amount of people that were like, none of those criticisms are connected. I was like, oh, come on, just like think. Just think that you might need more TV blow-offs for feuds if you want thinner pay-per-view cards and higher weekly ratings. Like, it's tough out there. It's tough out there on Twitter. If you're on there, be nice to people. That's all I'm saying. Just be nice.
I'm nice to so many. I just, you know, I tell everybody the same thing.
It's
have fun and love each other. All I did was post a picture saying it's true. It's on AEW. It's on Max. And the world went nuts on me.
Bro,
they're like, these lying sack of AEW tribalist scumbags. I'm like, what? I'm literally talking about SmackDown in an hour.
Sean had a match for charity and they're like, dirt sheet trap. What? Insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
Tony Khan, program
tomorrow on Collision. Stay tuned to FightfulSelect.com for more of that. Subscribe over there, would you? In addition to all the scoops that we mentioned earlier today, you also get me and Alex Pulaski doing post shows for pay-per-views and PLEs, Sour Graps Raw reviews every Monday. You also get access to the Fightful Select Discord if you are trying to avoid the weirdos that we were talking about on Twitter and you want to go talk to normal people. The Ask SRS channel, he will find you answers. That is a determined man. Also, the Ask SRS show behind the paywall. Very, very valuable. Very, very, very valuable. So FightfulSelect.com. Please leave a thumbs up on this video as well. It helps people find us in the algorithm. And sometimes when shows are a little less eventful like these ones, that extra boost helps us out a little bit. So
sure,
we appreciate. I'll also remind you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And more than ever, it might be the best move you can make because there's so much programming. Tomorrow, we're going to have your Collision Post show. I think that's going to be with Riccuccino and SP3. Iridian and Cresta are, well, Iridian's not available. And Cresta's going to be doing your Slammiversary Post show.
Let's
with
go.
Joel Pearl, who is going to be there, as well as Steven Jensen, who is fantastic. That guy just has a wonderful energy. And if you are someone that likes nostalgia, that guy is the only person I've ever met that can go toe-to-toe on, like, little big league trivia with me. I love that B-level baseball. I love B-level baseball movies in general because I love baseball. That guy is the only one who can match my freak on little big league specifically. That is the way to go. But let's dive back into this episode of SmackDown. We thank you so much for your chats tonight. And we are going to keep it going because backstage, we have Bianca and Jade who find Chelsea and Piper, and they're arguing about who gets to talk to Nick Aldis first. Chelsea Green has been waiting for like a full week at this point, so I feel like she deserves to be first, but Jade is about to blow them off, and Bianca has a better idea and suggests Green versus Bianca. FightfulSelect.com had the scoop on that to figure out who would be first in line, but both women did the fastest wardrobe change you could ever see in the whole wide world, because boom, they go to the ring. It feels almost as if this was pre-taped, Alex.
Yeah.
But we get a 56-second match with a KOD that Chelsea countered into O'Connor roll. But then we have Bianca rolling through who wins it for my cousin who's in the chat and in love with her. No, she wins it for herself and for Jade.
Let's
but
go.
Shout out to my cousin who has a crush on Bianca because he's a man of taste. Who doesn't have a crush on Bianca?
I'm just saying.
Man, Chelsea Green's so great. And she is such an underrated worker and such a scene stealer. We talked about this last week. I would like to see her get longer than a minute, but this match was what it was, right?
Sure.
I feel like it might be time to split her and Piper up and have them go their separate ways a little bit, but your thoughts on this angle? I felt like there weren't a lot of stakes on the show, as Meet Norma said, but like this one at least was for kind of the idea of contendership, right?
Yeah. I expected it to be a little bit more, you know, just because I know Chelsea's been, you know, working so hard on her character and just everything that she's been doing in the ring. For it to last, what was it, like 53 seconds, I think it was. I mean, I've lasted longer than these matches. And I mean, like, in the ring. Sorry. Like, you know, like, as a wrestler, I think I've lasted longer in a match than that freaking thing.
Didn't mean in the ring. I mean,
we've been telling you guys about Blue Chew for years, and we ain't stopping anytime soon. That confidence, that performance, that edge that you're going to get in the bedroom and mentally when you check out BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. First shipment free. Yes, shipment. That's because you don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy, have any awkward conversations with doctors. Your question online, and if approved, this ships straight to your door. It excludes all the awkwardness. Now listen, so will that confidence. That's going to get rid of a lot of that awkwardness as well. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. You know it's going to work. They know it's going to work. And that's why they're willing to give you that first shipment free at BlueChew.com when you use that code FIGHTFUL. Take control. Handle your business. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL.
BlueChew.com, code FIGHTFUL.
I always feel attacked.
I didn't even have that as a read for tonight. They got a bonus read because the segue was too good.
When I don't last more than 50 seconds.
56 seconds, man. BlueChew.com, code FIGHTFUL. I had to.
I've never felt as attacked as when these BlueChew ads come up because I know Kate is like looking directly into my soul when she speaks.
It's better than the old one where Sean just would stare at your face.
And then now Sean in this one, yeah. Yeah, no, it's all good though. But referencing back to the match, let's split them up. Let's do something here. If we're really thinking about doing a new title, and I think, let me tell you something. I think that this mid-card title situation, I think what we're going to have, what we're probably going to see it is when they move over to, you know,
Netflix.
To the new Netflix and USA deal.
Sure.
And I, the only reason I say this is because if you look at the schedule from here on out, we have SummerSlam, which is a week away. I still think it's about a month.
Crazy.
Bad Blood and Survivor Series. And right? And then that's it, because I don't think they're doing any pay-per-views in
No, they'll do the big MSG year. House show.
The house show, right. Right, but nothing worthwhile. So I think that's, you might see a build towards the new year, you know, like that day one stuff that they like to do. I would hope that they would separate them, and this would give Chelsea and Piper and all these women more than 56 seconds to showcase what they can do.
Yeah, I was a little, if you're like, she's a stopwatch, please, not from like a,
you're not, we care about the stuff not, that's happening.
I care a lot about women's wrestling and how women are represented.
I do as well. Yeah.
And to see Bayley and Nia segment be so short, to see a 56 second match. Now, Mi Chin got like 8 minutes to showcase what she can do, which I think is really, really cool against Tiffany. So that was good. And the creative is at least consistent, and it is respectful of the women, but like, for another Bloodline beatdown, you know what I mean? For them to bookend the show like this, like I get it, but it is like you could do more, and I want the most. I'm asking for the most for women. But Flame Inc. says, I don't have a crush on Bianca. I think she's overrated now. Asuka, that is my WWE crush. Give me Japan mommy anyway. Love you both. Well, that's one less person for my cousin that I have to compete with, so we will take your Asuka crush, and that is wonderful. And speaking of wrestling crushes, we get a quick vignette from Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, who have a video. They say they've got all the power, and Bianca and Jade will have a chance next week in their rematch. So
they're into spooky, eerie location.
But they're like not anymore, but they are like a struggle, spooky Scottish witches.
Swirling wind around them and fog, and I'm in love.
This is why Alex is in love, okay? Let me tell you, here's a little behind the scenes peek of how me and Alex's weeks go. We just send each other Halloween and Christmas like Instagram reels and
pretty much all day.
All day. It's so much like countdown to Christmas stuff.
And then we sing to each other.
Halloween and then we sing Backstreet Boys in the DMs when I send Alex the link to this very broadcast. So that's what goes on. But I think your love of Halloween is intertwined with your love of Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. But like, they need to. The only thing that's been consistent about them is that they are Scottish. They have not decided if they're normal, if they're witches. They gotta pick, man. They gotta pick a struggle here.
But I'm okay, because you know what? It's like Mariah Carey. You know, she's starting to defrost now, because we know within the next 2 months, you know, the Christmas extravaganza begins. And it's kind of the same thing with Isla Dawn. You know, we got the
gotta kick up the spookiness.
You know what I'm saying? Next month, we got all the spooky stuff happening. She just starts coming out of the cauldron. God, I'm all about her coming out of a cauldron.
She should like rise and have smoke all the time.
I love her.
I know you do. I know you do, Pumpkin Patch.
I'm going to have her on the show.
You should. You should. I would love that rating spike. One of the highest rated shows that I did that wasn't a pay-per-view review was when we had Mansoor on Sour Grabs to compete with Sean. So I'm all for talent coming on here. It gets our views up nice and high. But Tina Key's pointing out that we forgot about Bash at Berlin when we were running down that pay-per-view schedule. That's right. We've got much packed into this summer. But Alex, let me ask you this. Do you think that Bianca and Jade win the titles back and this is the least effective title reign of all time? Or do you think that this is the beginning of the split?
I think that this will be the beginning of the split. I do believe that my spooky witches will retain. They'll go off to continue doing some amazing things with the females in the tag team division. And I think that this is the right time to showcase a Jade singles run. And who better with than someone who she's been pretty much now ride or die with since she's gotten into the company, right? So I think the chemistry between these two women with Bianca and her is going to be insane when they get in the ring and beat the living crap out of each other. By the way, I love Jade too. Everyone knows since the AEW days since she first came out, I am in love with Jade as well. So I just don't know what to do.
You are just in love. You are just a man in love with wrestlers and wrestling.
I just love it. Yeah.
Murray, with some compliments for all of us and keep up the great work. Asuka, Kairi, or Io, take your pick. Beautiful Japanese women there are. There are some babes. By the way, Kate, you are adorable. Well, thank you. I will take the compliment and I will take your money to give me the compliment. Thank you so much. Well, here's the thing. When you guys send in chats that are complimentary toward me, not only do I appreciate it so much, but then when someone online is like, you're stupid and ugly, I'm like, people pay to tell me I'm pretty. Like, you have no like to say that. It makes me feel so good. So
you're getting paid to be told you're pretty. And you're not on OF. You're just on a public platform. Being told
I should get a cut of those super chats because I could go off and have my own OnlyFans. Sean would be in the mud, but I'm out
that
here
is true.
Being a fightful shill.
I could imagine you doing a wrestling show on OnlyFans. You'd probably be promoted by OnlyFans because you'll be the only wrestling show on there.
Probably would because it would be something that's so different.
It'll just be called She Bangs, a wrestling podcast.
Guys, I gotta go. I gotta start planning this show that will definitely make me $1 million because some people will be wrong and some people will be right, but they'll both be tuning in. But
and I did when I wore the shirt anyway.
Today. I was like, oh, this is funny. I unintentionally wore like a clavicle bearing shirt today.
You know, on my clavicle meter, that is definitely a 10 out of 10 clavicles.
10 out of 10 clavicle, thank you.
And mine are right here. I just didn't wear, I took a shower and I put on a Wolverine shirt that glows in the dark, which was made by me.
Did you really?
Yes, yeah. Oh, yeah. Made by me. And I came straight here to the show, to the studio, here at the Alex Studios LLC. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I totally forgot to wear a more clavicle shirt because it's still summer.
See?
You know, masterpiece. You. But next week, we're going to be celebrating Christmas in July here on a Friday. And I will 1,000% show you my beautiful clavicles.
Well, there you
maybe
go.
With some a string of lights. I don't know.
Midoris was asking why no clavicle. Give us the show. You got to wait till next week. It's called a cliffhanger, man.
Listen, this is if you guys want to see some of the good clav. You guys
good know. Clav? My God.
Next week. This show is taking a turn for the worst. I'm sorry,
everyone. It's
taking
a work turn for the best. I love it so much. But let's get into some of the best of what's to come, hopefully, for this U.S. title. It's got to be L.A. Knight, right? Defeating Logan Paul. We get this contract signing. And Logan Paul basically just asks the crowd why he would bother giving LA Knight a shot. Knight again calls him an edgelord, which rules. And he kind of takes credit for some of Logan's success. He said he gave him the direction to go on what to do with Prime. And since then, he's won the U.S. title, got on this historic reign, whatever. And LA Knight asks for a shot, which gets declined. And when he asked for a shot and it got declined, he went to Logan's house. He peed in the pool, people. Joe Pearl got that scoop. He asked if he peed in Logan Paul's
pool. He did pee in the pool.
And he said, at that time in the interview, he said, I'm not saying no. So we find out more. But he has been chasing him. Logan Paul eventually cuts him off and says he doesn't need this. Everything about Knight is tied up in this ring. And Logan is still a big deal with kind of everything else outside of the ring with Prime, with his show. And Knight might be good there, but Logan is great at everything that he does. And that he's never had a defining moment in his 20 years of wrestling. He's just a gym bro with a spray tan trying to be The Rock, which I thought was probably his best line of this.
Yeah.
And that LA Knight says, like, basically, haha, I've never heard of that before. He calls Logan Paul low-T and a fraud. They quibble about Jake a little bit, and things get a little tense, and Nick Aldis comes to play peacemaker in this. Logan leaves and then circles LA Knight and attacks him from behind. They brawl a little bit, but Logan avoids the blunt force trauma. So I am hoping LA Knight wins because I want a mid-card title more present on SmackDown, and LA Knight has beyond earned it for how over he has sustained himself. Mm-hmm. For the past 2 years without a title. It's actually kind of ridiculous. So what did you think of this contract signing? I know you're in the same camp as me of wanting LA Knight to win here, but what do you think of this segment, and what are your expectations for the match?
It's about time. I think it's time for them to remove this title off of him. You know, sure. Off of Logan and move it on to someone who would completely, I think, would elevate that title to the nth degree. It's been a while since someone's actually held it that makes it meaningful.
Sure.
I'm tired of seeing Logan. I'm just how it is. And I am 1000% ready to see what the future brings for someone like a LA Knight.
Yeah, I mean, he's had it for well over 200 days, I think over 250 days, and he's only defended it twice. So some of it is just the absolute absence of it. I am hoping that we get present champion.
It looks like the Maharaja showed up at GCW.
There you go. Right after his 90 days were up. Yeah, lots of travel issues with GCW, so I'm glad he was able to make it.
He took out your boy who Sean was fighting.
Oh, he took out Effie.
Yeah.
See, this is what it was. Sean didn't want the win. He wanted to soften him up for the modern day Maharaja. What a worker. What a guy Sean is, incredible. Man.
Sean's always putting people over, man. Look at that.
He is. What a selfless in-ring performer Sean Rossap is.
He really is.
FightfulSelect.com this weekend. We'll have more information on who Hologram is. I'm just saying, but...
Or, yeah.
Donate to the DementiaSociety.org.
Please do. Yes.
Well, let's keep moving along here. We've got more show to get through. Keep those super chats coming if there's anything you want to talk about. But we got LA Knight walking backstage, and he's interrupted by Santos Escobar and Electra Lopez. This makes me very happy because we've been saying for a long time Santos Escobar is too good for a guy with nothing to do. But LA Knight wants to know what's going on. Santos says that he's going to beat LA Knight here. And this is basically, it feels like just setting up a hopeful future feud. I'm hoping we revisit LA Knight and Santos Escobar when LA Knight has the title on him, because those matches were really good before that was the case. So assuming Carmelo doesn't win, LA Knight is good here, but Escobar says he'll be happy to help Knight squander his title shot next week. So threatening that he's going to interfere, I think Knight wins and he's a challenger on the other side of this. But I know you're an Escobar guy. I'm a huge Escobar gal. Your thoughts?
We might be able to see now a little more of Escobar coming, you know, especially with certain changes and certain title changes coming along here. I want to see a little bit more of him as he was being featured before. Yeah. You know, like right when things were getting kind of hot. So I'm a big Escobar guy. I'm big into having just different faces, not yes. the same thing happen all the friend. Time, right? Yeah. And I'm big on not having these faces of that are different in the sense of like ethnicity and who they are be more than just a pawn in something, like, you know, like the Maharaja wins the title because they're doing a thing with India, you know, and so on, right. And so on, and yeah. blah blah blah. I want this to be meaningful, so I'm hoping that this is Escobar's breakout moment, and the rest of the year he just
upwards.
He's on
trajectory.
A rocket. He's on a rocket.
Louise giving you the link to donate to the Dementia Society of America again, and saying, continue to send in your super chats and humper chats. He's coming for everybody's wallets today. I like that side of Luis. Okay. He's going to the pay window for us. So, Tim McPowell saying, all right, geez, so pushy. Good stuff there. Well, guys, Mia Yim is really great at this. I don't know what to tell you, but we got a nice match here from Tiffany and Mia Yim. You guys don't like stopwatch stuff? Too bad, because I'm going to tell you what I found out. It was 27 minutes between matches, and the last match was 56 seconds long. It didn't, I will say, despite that, the flow of the show felt pretty good. I was not, like, sitting around waiting for that.
Sure.
That is a long time. That is a long time between matches, especially if you're there live. I wonder how it felt from a live perspective. But crowd was hot tonight, to be honest. So we get Tiffy and Mia Yim. This was a surprise result that made me happy. But Mi Chin sets up a dive, but Nia Jax trips her up, which lets Tiffany land and then hits a Finley roll into the prettiest moonsault ever. But Bayley shows up and distracts her. We get Nia Jax charging at Bayley, but she gets sent to the timekeeper's area. And then she and Bayley start to brawl on the outside here a little bit. Bayley uses that briefcase to take out Nia Jax, and it ultimately upends and breaks, and Mi Chin grabs the schoolboy for the pin here. Not bad. Clever way to get Mia Yim a win here. I think that's probably a sign sooner than later, because this was double taping as well. I'm going to assume this angle doesn't continue next week, and this is probably the last we get of it. Guessing Nia wins or Tiffy cashes in based on what we saw tonight.
Sure. Like
Bayley having the upper hand. You do some wrestling math, carry the one. You kind of assume that Nia and Tiffy are coming out on the upside of this. But really good match. I think a lot of people are finding out how good Mi Chin, Mia Yim is. Like she's always been a reliable worker in a lot of people's eyes, I fear. And she's a lot more than that. She's one of like the smartest in-ring ones in the world. And does some great counter wrestling, really good move execution. Really, really, really happy that she's getting more reps. I just hope that they're more fruitful, but she does technically get the win here. I just hope she gets some wins that are a little bit more about her. But what did you think of this match? Much more time than what poor Chelsea Green got.
Yeah. I love watching Tiff wrestle in the ring. She's so like on a cloud. She's so light. She's at the right place at the right time always. And she, you know, I've been noticing a trend here. The women in professional wrestling have been changing, right? The way they look, the characters who they are. Tiffy, and this is not in a bad way. I mean this in a good way. Like she's thick. She's a very muscular, strong woman.
Very athletic. Very, very athletic.
And watching her today, I was kind of looking at her and I'm like, wow, man, like she could really move with all that power and all that weight of muscle on her. She flies through the air and she moves so with the agility of a cat, of a puma.
Of you a know, puma. Like, she's Princess Puma over
she's
there.
She's a Princess Puma. But she's, man, she's so damn good. And, you know, the story's continuing to unravel here with Nia and Bayley. And then we spoke about it earlier. Like, things are moving well. And I like that because it seems to me a lot of the time the women just kind of have blow-off matches all the time. And, changes of titles and people are happy because it was changed or a briefcase gets brought in and blah, blah, blah. But it looks like they're really having a good time with this and they're taking their time, which I'm happy about. Give them more time.
I would say, too, to your point about her, like, athleticism and power in such, like, a small package of a human being. Alex Pulowski said this, and I agree. If you do like a handspring into the corner spot and you're not Tiffany Stratton, retire it, because she's actually a gymnast. So she knows she's the only one that legitimately feels like she's picking up momentum as she does the handsprings into the corner. Everybody else, it looks like, hey, they're doing some cool flips before they splash somebody in the corner. Tiffany's like from rope to rope, from post to post, the amount of intensity and momentum that she picks up in that time, nobody is doing it like her in that specific move in that specific way. It's kind of like if you do a frog splash, like, and you're not Montez Ford, just retire it. Like, there, sure. There's some people who just,
if you're not bouncing another 6 feet off the person after you do it,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. So Tim McVowell saying, sending money because Luis told me to. Well, dang, we got to get Luis out here more often.
Luis, spit me out, Luis.
Also, y'all aren't bad either. You are to podcasting as Melo and Andrade are to wrestling. Well, I'll take that. Jeez. Mia winning is awesome too. Yes. Well deserved.
Look at you.
Well,
Kate getting so much love.
So much love.
Is this what I do to get Kate's attention? Outside of the show, I'm just freaking Venmo you money.
If you Venmo me, you will have my attention. That is correct. But okay, cool. TV Key is sending in a donation. Thank you so much. If you meant to include a chat in that, just send some stars and what you meant to say with your message, and Luis will pick that up. If you were just sending in a couple bucks, we thank you so much for doing that. We always appreciate those. And me, Norma, saying, didn't we just do a champion with a secret partner on NXT? For a second, I was expecting Moose or somebody more wrestling on the show, especially women. These women had two matches at least today, but one of them was a minute long. So very, very true. My cousin continuing to rail against Montez Ford because he's in love with Bianca is like one of my favorite things. Just
I understand.
A running bit.
He's a former Marine like myself, so I can't hate on him, you know?
It's fair. But Alex, we got SummerSlam around the corner, okay?
I had no idea.
I mean, you covered SmackDown, so like you probably should have.
It's the biggest party of the summer, you mean?
It's the biggest event of the summer, Alex. But if you want to bet on wrestling, that is a possibility, okay? You can check out the odds at Bet Online. They have so much more than wrestling. They have so much more than traditional sports as well. They have some really fun, silly ones. I remember a while ago they had a bet on like whether Pornhub was going to get banned in Alabama or whatever.
What?
Go throw a couple of bucks on some silly stuff is all I'm saying. But Sean Rossap is going to tell you more about our friends at BetOnline.ag.
I want to talk to you guys about our great partner at BetOnline.ag. Yes, the place that lets you bet on pro wrestling. We've gotten our pro wrestling betting odds from them for years, well before we even worked with them. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about them. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payout, the industry best bonuses. They've been trusted for 25 plus years because of their safe and secure environment and their quick payouts. But you can bet on pro wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know more than anybody, go ahead and look at those odds. It's the same ones you've seen on Fightful for years. You might see one that sticks out to you and you go, wait a second. There's no way that person's going to win. Why are they an underdog? Make yourself some money. BetOnline.ag. And hey, it doesn't stop there. Whatever sports you want, they got you covered. Popular games like blackjack and roulette, Supernova, Skyward, all that stuff. BetOnline.ag. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can at BetOnline.ag.
Well, we're going to give you our quick Rampage rundown and talk about our main event. So last call for Super Chats and Humper Chats. Go ahead and get those in. We thank you for the support tonight. I know it was kind of a more middle-of-the-road episode, so we always appreciate your donations, but especially on nights like tonight. We got the conglomeration, Kyle O'Reilly and Orange Cassidy versus Ishii and Ishii against the Undisputed Kingdom, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, and Roddy Strong. You got the good guys, the conglomeration winning via pinfall there. Orange punch from Orange Cassidy. Luis says it was a slapper. So there you go. Don Callis and Kyle Fletcher appear after the match to attack Orange Cassidy, but Mark Briscoe making the save. Strong still laid out. Roddy Strong and Mark Briscoe have a match at Death Before Dishonor, which will be next week. I don't know if I'll be on this post show or that one, but we will have competing post shows. I will be on one of them. We'll keep you posted on that sooner than later. You have the Outcasts getting interview, and Soraya says that all roads led to Wembley and promised to step on anyone who gets in her way. Mm-hmm. The Learning Tree defeat the Outrunners. Who could possibly care? After the match, Suzuki makes his entrance and confronts Jericho before preparing his match against the Butcher. Well, this was a match that they must have just slapped the hell out of each other for a while. Minoru Suzuki winning over the Butcher. Butcher deserves more reps, man. The gotch pile driver for Minoru Suzuki. Mwah. We get Chris Statlander with Stokely defeating Sydney Winnell. Winnell? That's pretty cool. Winning with the Saturday Night Fever, which is fantastic. You get some vignettes for Hologram. FightfulSelect.com this weekend. And the Lucha Brothers defeating Private Party in what is also, on the Louis scale of things, a slapper. So there you go. There was your Rampage rundown. The Fletchlight stuff absolutely cracks me up. Kyle Fletcher was like, what should I call my fans? And he was like, I could call them Fletchers, Fletch Hims, Fletch Days. But the internet decided Fletchlights, to which I say, shop AEW should get on that. What could possibly go wrong? We get a quick hype package for Solo Sikoa, making him out to seem like a badass. I know some people are having a hard time buying into the hype. I personally really like Solo and think he's doing a great job. But these packages go a long way. Like the one that we got for Gunther on Monday, I also thought was fantastic. They're not particularly revealing of any new information, but just stylistically, I feel like it's cool how they kind of encapsulate the characters that they are in support of. I know you're a video guy. Did you have any thoughts on kind of just the style that these are shot in?
I really enjoyed, like, you know, having, so they're giving him that prominent look, you know, like he's the boss, you know, that's old school. If you look at the old school mobster movies and you look at the Godfather films, right? You look at the Sopranos, you always have that central figure. And I think they're doing great. By the way, Jacob Fatu, I love Santos Escobar, just because I think he's a future star.
He's one of those
star.
Guys that the second he walks out from behind the yes. curtain, you're like, that's a superstar. 100%.
But Jacob Fatu has become my favorite wrestler on SmackDown. I gotta say, just his intensity. You can see him in the back. You're talking about this. You can see him in the yes. back with the light beaming on him. And he has the freak, you know, he's there like this, like praying to the gods with the
megastar.
I forget what the name of it is called. I don't want to call it the wrong thing. It's not a lay, you know, but you know what it is.
I'm dyslexic, so I always see it as falafel, but it's like the La Fala or something.
Yes,
I'm terrible.
Yes. No disrespect to
the badass looking necklace. Yeah.
Yes, the badass looking necklace. And you like he just looks so cool with the lighting. It just you don't need the other two gentlemen to be in the forefront. So they're kind of like hiding in the shadow. So it's giving it like this badass vibe, man. They've actually done these vignettes are done better with Solo than they have ever been done with friggin' Roman in them.
Yeah. It's amazing how successful that was with what a poor time for production it was in WWE at that time.
Yeah.
Like the Bloodline was undeniably one of, if not the most successful things WWE has ever done, despite overarching complaints about it that are valid. But like if they had this production while Roman was being built up, I can't even imagine. Tom LaValle thinks that one in 85 seconds slower than Bianca. Well, get it together, Chris Statlander, with your extra 20 seconds or whatever you had there. But let's get into our main event. Great news is that we got Kevin Owens back. He is revealed as the tag team partner. His mom kicked out, in his words. There was a nice article on the free Fightful, just regular Fightful.com about mm-hmm. it, but very glad to see that she is doing well after having not been so well. Fight Owens fight, baby. That's what we do. So good stuff there. Crowd went ballistic for him. He's just one of my favorite wrestlers in the mm-hmm. world. Like everything he does is dripping with like intensity and ring smarts, and his character is present. I just love watching the guy wrestle. But Benormous asks, will Cody feud with any non-Samoans until Mania, or is this rinse and repeat until Roman or The Rock come back to work?
Rinse and repeat.
Gabagool and Toodles partners. Well, Toodles, I think you'll see him feud with other people. I think this will be cooking in the background no matter what. You'll probably see a pretty intense run of this from I would say SummerSlam to Survivor Series, because I think they're going to long burn that build, which makes sense. Like, you're going to see both of these teams fill out. FightfulSelect.com has news on Hikuleo likely joining WWE, according to the sources that Sean heard from. So you're going to see these teams build out a little bit cleaner, I'm guessing, from SummerSlam till then. But let's dive into this match a little bit. We get Cody and Kevin versus A-Town Down Under. I'm ready for Grayson Waller and Austin Theory to break up. I've said that a couple of weeks running now. When I say long-term storytelling versus dragged-out storytelling, this is the kind of thing that I mean. There's no real development. It's just like dissension between A-Town Down Under. But I will say both of them are excellent in the ring. Grayson Waller, like, I think is going to be future mega star. He kind of got that gusto when he came up. I think since Melo and Braun have come up, he maybe hasn't been as strongly talked about despite being a tag team champion. But that guy knows what he's doing in there. Just get rid of the finisher where you have to leave the ring to come back into the ring. It makes no sense. We used to talk about that on the NXT show all the time. Like, a finisher where you have to leave is just inherently stupid. But you get Cody winning here with the Crossroads. And then, of course, you have the nasty beatdown from the Bloodline. Now, I will say for me, this is getting a little redundant. I've seen Bloodline beatdowns forever. Jacob Fatu doing them, though, despite the angle being stale, the execution of them, not stale. That dude is a force to be reckoned with. And he's so much fun in matches, but there is something that is kind of fun when you just say, hey, go ape shit real quick at the end of a show, because he just goes nuts. And it is really, really fun. And all I'm saying is, fellas, some of you don't even text back. And this guy is out there for his tribal chief committing homicide. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
It's true.
A nice chat from Tim McFall saying, we know where KO gets it. Love Mama Steen. Absolutely 100%. Very, very happy to hear that she's recovering and doing well. But what did you think of our main event match, and what did you think of this post-match Bloodline angle? Because, man, Jacob Fatu is a force.
The match was okay. Again, just like you, I'm a little tired of A-Town Down Under. Like, can we move on from this?
Sure.
Like, I mean, I understand maybe they're just kind of planning on where and how they're going to do this, but I think it's just time. Like, do the everyday wrestling thing, not WWE, wrestling thing. Have them turn on each other.
Yeah.
You know, who cares? You know? And then the post beatdown, this is where I told you Jacob just kind of just like, he excels, man. You put him in an environment where it's total chaos and he is just going to freaking shine. I 100%. Mean, those hip attacks that he kept on giving Cody, whole baby. Okay. He's just that good. And by the way, If you look at the very, very end, there's two things that stood out. Number one, Solo has really taken the leadership role. You can tell him kind of like telling the boys, hey, get behind me. We're about to do our closing shot. Like, you can tell him, you can tell he's saying, like, hey, get over here, like, throw up the ones, you know, which is great. He is taking full control of this group. And I am so glad that he has had this opportunity, because we don't know where he's going to be in a year. Right.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. Like, it could be lost in the sauce and back to the mids and whatever the case may be. Secondly, I didn't get a chance. I'm going to record it and probably use it as a meme and probably use it as a GIF. But Jacob Fatu, as the closing shot, as the camera's panning into them, you can see him off to the side looking like, all I got to say is, looking like a day after Blue Chew. Okay. Just look at his facial expressions and what he's doing.
Honestly, I know you brought that up like in a cheeky way or whatever, but I will say, underrated part of his game, because everybody's talking about like his charisma, how he moves, like all of these things. But like, knowing where the hard cam is at all time, the facial expressions, the moments when to pull back, I think are so important into making the moments where your foot on the gas feel like it's contrasted against something. Like those moments where it's like those closing shots, he knows exactly how to manipulate the camera to work. Like, it's really, really impressive how much, because God bless MLW, lovely promotion.
Sure.
This is not the same scale as that. So like for him to just be able to walk into an amplified environment like WWE and just seamlessly like, I got this, incredible stuff.
Yeah, and that's incredible. And he's doing that too in the vignettes. He's always doing something. He's always showing you. And when they're in the ring, like let's say they just finished beating up someone, he's praying in the back. I said this last week. He's praying in the background and he's rocking back and forth. And he's like, ah, my tribal chief, I freaking love you. You know, this and that. Like, it's just he's it. He knows it. And I hope everyone just gets ready for the ride that they're about to have here for the next couple of years with him on the roster.
100%. I think it's going to be very, very fun. Him walking in here and feeling like a main eventer is just a healthy thing for the WWE product, especially in what has been the most important storyline for the past 4 years for this company.
So the bread and butter of WWE. I mean, to the point where, and we're about to get out of here, but to the point is that we're pretty much poaching every single Samoan talent in the world is going to be in WWE.
Samoa Joe just stays there.
He'll be back. They'll find ways to get him back into WWE. He'll be like their eighth cousin.
We'll see, man. That guy, they didn't get him right and they let him go twice. But it is kind of funny that, like, you think like giant Samoan enforcer, he's still the first guy that comes to mind. But it is very cool to see how much how extensive and how different all of these Samoan wrestlers that have carried on such an important legacy really are. Like, it's really cool to see how different. You're going to see how different Hikuleo is from Jacob Fatu, is different from Tama Tonga. Like, it's really cool to see how they all have this connective tissue, but they all feel like very different wrestlers. So.
It's literally like ever since The Rock came back and did the tree, the Samoan tree.
No,
I was trying to avoid that. The family tree.
The family tree, the MFT, yeah.
Like, ever since that was put up on television, it's been a wrap. Yeah. They've been pretty much poaching everyone, which is cool. Who cares? Like, have them all there. Why not?
They're all playing a role, so I don't
care. Goddamn right. Yeah. Who cares? It's wrestling. Let's more cool people around to just beat the crap out of other people.
That's it. That's pro wrestling, baby.
Damn it.
Well, that is our episode of SmackDown for tonight. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We're going to plug our S and get, we're going to get our S in and get out of here. But before we do, we'll remind you that the Slammiversary post show is tomorrow. You're going to have your regular Collision post show as well. So tune in for those next week. TBD, if I'm going to be here, I might be doing the Death Before Dishonor post show with SP3. I might be here and SP3 will have a co-host. Very happy he has stepped into the role that he has on the ROH post show after Reg left. I was a little heartbroken that Reg left. So very thankful that SP3 has brought such fun energy. Check out our ROH post show if you haven't already. But
yeah,
thank you so much for everybody who has joined us. Thank you to those of you who donated to the Dementia Society of America. Very much appreciated. Means a lot to me. Means a lot to Sean. Means a lot to the wonderful people of Fightful. But Alex, you got a lot going on. You're talking to Freddie Prinze. You're here every Friday. You're rocking. You're rolling. You're basically a Power Ranger at this point. Tell the people where they can find you. I'm a Power Ranger.
I'm hanging out with Eva Longoria, Freddie Prinze Jr., Santos Escobar. I mean, you name it, I'm hanging out with them.
Oh my gosh, rubbing. This is why your clavicles are put away, because you've been rubbing shoulders so much.
I've been rubbing a lot of things. onlyclavs.com, people, you can. You can hit me up on, like the little thing here says, _ Alexis Cardoza on the Twitter. And you could also find me on Instagram @ Alexis Cardoza. Lots of fun stuff heading your way. Some cool new projects that I've been putting together with some really great people are about to start filming. And a second project that kind of was just dropped on my lap, which I'm going to tell Kate about after the show wraps, which should be really fun too, as well as our burr seasons are starting. This should be fun to kind of let out once we start putting the recording to the stuff. Yeah. So yeah. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate you all, every single one of you, for your support.
Hell yeah. You can find me at Excite Wrestling tomorrow. Excite Wrestling on the place where all of your independent wrestling shows are found, really. So head over there. we're going to be, I'm not kidding, broadcasting from the roller rink where I grew up.
That's amazing.
It was like a roller rink, water park, laser tag, like family fun park. I'm so excited to go do commentary.
That's so cool.
At Skate Estate. But check out Excite Wrestling. We have a new challenger coming into town that'll make you want to feast your eyes and die, Jack. In August, there's a big festival that happens. He's going to be around there. So some exciting things happening at Excite Wrestling. You can find out all about it on their Twitter or mine at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. Going to be doing some new fun stuff on social media, so looking forward to it. But here every Friday for the SmackDown review, Tuesdays and Thursdays for NXT and ROH as well. Mondays on Fightful Select with your Sour Grabs for our review, and Wednesdays talking all things All Elite at the Mark Order podcast.
Word.
Looking very much forward to it. But thank you so much for joining us tonight. We will see you next week for the go home. Is it next week already? My God.
Yeah.
Go home to SummerSlam, man. Whew. We'll see you. Have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.